Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. Lord God, I just ask that the wells of water, Lord, that you've hidden under our feet, Lord, and this land that you've given us, God, that you would open those wells, God. Lord, that you would lead us deeper into your way, Lord, deeper into your word, deeper into your truth, God, that we would abide in your life, that we would wait on your life, Lord, and that we would ask, Lord, of you our deepest heart's desires or concerns, Lord. So, God, I just ask that you would just bless us, Lord, and fill our hearts, Lord, with your light, with your wisdom, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's kind of a funny thing how water is hidden under the ground, you know, and of ourselves, just with our bare hands, we can't really get to it. You know, digging a well requires a way to get to the water. And, you know, God has, it's just like with the pearl of greatest price and the treasure that's hidden in the field. You know, we go and we sell all that we own so we can go and buy that field. You know, and we have Christ. He Jesus was and is to come. And when we receive him, he is in us and he is to come and he's forever. And so to go and when we in our seasons in our life where we feel like the Lord is not speaking to us, or we feel like there's untended to areas of our hearts, God is there. God is very aware. We can have those areas persist for years. We can have, you know, a feeling like, what is going to change? You know, when is a change going to come? Why am I stuck in the same spot? And he was and is to come. And the very same truth that you met on the day of your salvation is the very same truth that seeks you out now. And, you know, it's just the idea of, you know, that field and that pearl, you know, it's just this tiny little thing. It's this tiny little mustard seed. It's this large piece of land and this treasure. You know, do we have the patience to go to that place to search? Do we have the patience to go and to seek out the Lord? You know, his heart's desire is for us to continually come to know him. And I believe for all eternity, he's going to impress us with who he is. He's infinitely great, and that means without end. Without end, he will impress us. Without end, we will come to know him and abide in him. And so for a lot of us, and what I've experienced in my own life, and this is why I'm preaching on this, is that, you know, I experienced salvation, I experienced Jesus, and then I decided, I got this. You know, I can figure out what God wants from me. I can learn about who Jesus is. I can imitate him, which is good. And then I can somehow arrive. And what I experienced was, is that I could not, just like Paul says that, you know, knowing what was right and trying to do what was right, he would do the very opposite. You know, that there was some other thing in him that even when it tried to please God, sin would, you know, seize that opportunity to put him to death. And so, you know, the obedience, the ability to love, the ability to know God, it all comes from him. It all comes from him. And Jesus, we know him. Every one of us that's received him, we know him. But are we knowing him? You know, are we coming into a place of greater and greater knowledge? For me, when I'm reading the scripture and I read about the Pharisees, one of the temptations is to be like, okay, those guys are jerks and they're evil and they're destructive and they have no clue. And I'm so glad I'm not like that. You know? But I hear, and I heard when I was a kid, I heard Jesus' words coming back to me. He said, why are you judging them when you do the very same thing? So either Jesus is right, and when I put a heaping judgment on these guys that were really mean vipers, that I have the same stuff going on in me, or Jesus is wrong, and I'm all good, and I've figured it out, and I'm different. What Jesus said to the Pharisees, because Jesus was going, they're blind, they can't see, they can't perceive, they can't hear, they have ears, but there's nothing going in there. He was saying to them, your heart is completely hard. You know, if I went right now, I haven't done calculus in years, but if I sat down with someone who's really skilled in calculus, they could write a whole bunch of stuff that's super meaningful, like, you know, describing a bar falling and spinning, and it communicates exactly what they're saying, and I'd be exactly clueless to all of it because I don't know that language. God's language with us is the language of love. He made us as his friends. He made us as his companions, and that is his language, and if we don't abide with him, we won't know what he's speaking. You know, and God, you know, just like, you know, those Pharisees, they said to him when he said they couldn't see, they were like, are you saying we're blind? And Jesus says, it's better that if you were blind, because you say you see, your sin remains. And so in our relationship with the Lord, we can do the very same thing. We can know Jesus, we can love Jesus, and then we have him, and that's it. It's all we know. I mean, it's all the only place that we've gone to, and we stop it. We say, I already know. Like a child, you know, the parent's like, you should do this and this, and I know. And sometimes our faith starts to take that form, and it's really more about what we know, and it's more about what we're certain of than actually loving our God, actually wanting to hear him, actually being his friend. If we're not going to be his companion, you know, Jesus says we're like branches that are removed from a vine. We wither, we die, we have no use. Our use with him is he loves us. So if we want to come to him with great works, like I want to do great things for you, I want to, you know, do this and that, and I want to have a great family and look fantastic for you, that's not what he asked for. He asked for us to come and to love him with the same love he gave us. When he asked Abraham to take Isaac up the mountain, what he was saying to Abraham is, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take my son, whom I love, and I'm going to give him to you, and you're going to kill him. And I'm going to love you through that. That's what he was saying to Abraham. And Abraham, you know, he just had the stark trial of faith and trusting the Lord that God would keep his promise. God said, you are going to receive a nation's children are going to come from your name through Isaac, and God meant it. And either God was a liar or he's a truth teller. And he obeyed. Abraham was God's friend, and God spoke his heart. And it's hard. Sometimes when God speaks his heart to us, it's hard. But his heart is to love and to know us and to cherish us. And it doesn't matter how ugly this world is or how ugly the trials we've been through or how ugly people have treated us. Knowing that love makes it all worth it. And when I have known the love of God in areas where I've been the most hurt by people, I have been able to share and minister the love of God to other people who are hurting. And it's worth it. And so, right now with all of us, there are areas where we have not known the Lord. You know, I think when I look at the children of Israel, you know, and God would give them the land, and then the Philistines would come in, and then the Midianites would come in, and then I read the scripture, and it says, a little one will become as a great nation. It's talking about Jesus literally birthing a nation that's the church. That through his bride, you know, it's this amazing picture of eternity, because we're not yet come together, yet we're drawn in and grafted into this branch. We're adopted. You know, there's this, desire that God has to continually reveal himself, you know, to continually seek us out. And if we've said, I already know, then what do we have to hope for? Who hopes for what they already have? You know, coming into that place where we can be honest with God with what we don't know. You know, sometimes we think faith is just knowing with certainty. You know, we think that faith is knowing about God with certainty. And faith is actually laying our lives down like he laid his life down for us, trusting that he's going to be who he says he is, just like Abraham did. He trusted that God was true to his word, and God was. And God did offer salvation to Abraham's entire lineage, and he did adopt us into Abraham's lineage, and he was faithful to Abraham. And so, you know, in our own lives, just being willing to say, you know, God, I have this fruit, I have these things that I do, and I feel lost from you when I'm there. I feel I can't see the vision and the hope that you have for me when I'm there. To be able to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, where do I need Christ revealed to me? Where do I need a well of living water dug because I can't dig it with my own hands? We cannot, you know, of ourselves, we can do nothing. But oftentimes we'll find ourselves going years saying, oh, I'll get this together. Oh, I'll go on this diet, or I'll deal with this area of bondage or disobedience, and I'll get it worked out. You know, and we just go on, and it just kind of persists. And I think God leaves a lot of those areas for us because his grace is sufficient, because he wants us to actually walk into the sanctification wholly without feeling that we somehow did it, that he somehow let us down, and we figured it out, though, and everything's okay now, and it's, you know, it's driven by anxiety. It's driven by fear and distrust. And so that seed of distrust and fear, it has to be pulled out. And God's going there, and God's faithful. He's sitting, you know, right at that point in our lives, and he's waiting for us. You know, we knock, we let him in the door, the front door, but there's all sorts of messy rooms and closets we don't want him to see. To be willing to just be like, you know what? It's all because of you that I am yours. And it's all because of you that you love me. And I can trust you to deal with the ugliest parts of my life, with the most embittered parts of my life, with the most fearful parts of my life. I can trust you. You're going to do something good with it. I don't have to know what it is. I don't have to control your hands. I can just be with you. And I can just receive your love. You know, it's so funny because, you know, when I was a kid, I was always like, why was Jesus born in a stable, you know? And it's really just God chose that place. He chose that place for Jesus because he wanted to give us a picture of what it's like with us. When he came to us, we had no room for him. There was no place for him. He loves us anyways. He'll take whatever we give him. And if we give him more, then the blessing is more. And if we give him less, then we experience judgment in our lives. You know, but he is truthful, he is earnest, his love is real. And he's waiting on us to come to him. So yeah, it's just returning to that, you know, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, when you first had your salvation born in your heart by the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, the Word, when you first received that and it was born, the completion, the beginning, the end was all there. And in going to that place and going to him, the unfolding of who he is and his love, the fact that God really did, in fact, on the cross, make all provision for our needs. He really did. And so in this area, in this regards, one of the things I really feel like led to speak about was just our concept of mediator. Because our concept of who Jesus is. Jesus is a person and he's a friend who's beside us. But he's also the way. And he's also the truth. And God in the scripture has revealed everything that he's done through Christ, which is everything. All things that were made how? Through the Word. So every single thing that God created in this universe was made through Christ. And how was our salvation brought to us? It was brought through Christ. And so it's kind of funny because it's the last definition of mediator. But I think it's really good because it talks about who Jesus is. He said, we have to abide in him. If we're going to do anything, we have to abide in him. If we're separate from him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing of ourselves. And see, that's the nature of our sin nature. Our sin nature is all about doing stuff of ourselves. The devil speaks from his own resources, which are lies, which is nothing. So Jesus says, of myself, I can do nothing. And Satan does lots of things of himself, but they're all lies. When we're doing things of ourselves, when we're dependent on ourselves, when what God's going to do is dependent on us, when we're in that place where we're relying on ourselves, the pain, the confusion, and the general unawareness of love of God, it's there because there's doubt, and it's there because we're not abiding. And Jesus, the mediator, the adjective, it means acting through, dependent on, or involving an intermediate agency, not direct or immediate. And so it's really easy just to kind of think like, okay, maybe you need a mediator if you're fighting with someone or there's a problem or whatever. We don't realize how incremental the mediator is, and the entire universe bears witness to him. And I like to use this example because it's kind of simple. But if I was to eat without utensils, what would I have to do? I got to use my hands, right? And if I don't have hands, then what do I have to do? I have to have someone feed me. And if I can't swallow, what do I have to do? I have to have a tube put into my stomach. And if I can't digest, I have to have it intravenously. And if I cannot absorb nutrients at all, I die. That's mediation. When I go to work and I get in my car and I drive, it's a blessing that mediates my trip to work. Everything that we do in our lives is mediated. If I don't have eyes to see, I can't take in information visually. And the same applies to my ears. The whole universe bears witness to the mediator, through whom it was formed. The entire universe bears witness to Christ. And so, you know, when we're walking with the Lord, and I had times, this is when God kind of revealed that to me, was I had times where I'm like, where are you? You tell me I'm supposed to do everything through you, and you never show up, and I'm stuck trying to fix things, and I'm confused, and I'm, where are you? You know, and it was, he started to reveal to me that I'm with you all the time. I have loved you and cared for you all the time, but you have not had a place for me. When I started giving him a place, and this is belief, you know, when we believe, we sometimes don't understand the difference between faith and belief. Faith, you know, is a gift from the Holy Spirit, something that's given to us, it's deposited. And belief is our goodwill and earnest gesture towards the Lord in response to his word. And so when God says, I want you to reach out and I want you to take hold of this thing, and I'm a blind and I'm virtually deaf, you know, and I'm an invalid, you know, I'm not walking uprightly, I can't even walk, you know, and he asked me to reach, and then I reach, I don't know where I'm reaching, I don't have in me the ability to do it, but then the Lord takes what I'm reaching for, and he puts it in my hand, and when he puts it in my hand, I grasp it, and that is faith. See, God responds to everything we do with overcoming grace, with overcoming love. And when we seek him out, when we speak to him, he takes everything we say and he keeps it in his heart. He has our names written on his hand. He has every tear that we've ever cried in a jar, you know, that he's kept. He is mindful of us. But he's hidden all of his love all around us. And if we will seek him out as he has sought us out, how many hours has God spent waiting on us? How many years has he spent dealing with an area of bitterness that we don't want to give up? He's been faithful. He poured out his soul unto death. And that's why, you know, it's so rough sometimes when we look at him, we're like, okay, he who tries to save his life, you know, will lose it. And he who gives up his life for my sake will get it back. Maybe, I don't know. You know, and we look at that and it's like, ow, that's really painful. But that's what he did for us. Love reciprocates. You know, when I go around, if I'm going around looking at people and going, oh, they got that screwed up, they got that screwed up, they're just, you know, that's pretty much a mess. You know, that judgment is going out of my mouth and then it's coming back right on me, because with the measure we use, it's measured back to us. If I'm going around and I'm seeing that and I'm like, Lord, will you help them in that area? God, will you show them that you love them and you know them? And I'm pouring out blessing and I'm pouring out love on people when I see their wounds, when I see their bitternesses, just like the Lord did for me. That love is coming back. God wants to draw us into that love. We don't have to run around like, you know, starving robber barons, you know, nitpicking and, you know, figuring out who's the best judge of what. You know, his truth, like all genuine authority, doesn't need anyone for its place, because its place comes from God. So a lot of times we'll run around, you know, trying to make sure that we're with the Lord when we just need to be receiving him and loving him and realizing that he loves us when we're broken. So yeah, everything that God did, he did through Jesus. And everything that God does with us will always include Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing, you know. It's like this gospel, it's like a shot from 2,000 years ago, backwards and forwards through time, right at the heart of man, to come back to that place. When we chose to go our own way and be our own gods, we chose to kick Jesus off the throne, and we didn't even know we died because he's so small. He's a little, like a little mustard seed. God, a lot of times when we magnify God, we don't realize that we don't just need a telescope to magnify God, we need a microscope too. Because infinity goes both directions. Infinity is infinitely huge, and infinity is infinitely small. And God is holy, which means he's separate. This universe does not compare to him. Literally, he is not found in relationship. He can hold the whole universe in the span of his hand, and he can dwell in my heart so small that I didn't know he was there for years. He can do anything. You know, and so, you know, That's the reason they didn't recognize him when he came. They were looking for a king of power. They were looking for someone to demonstrate the force and the will of God. And the will of God was to come in gentleness and meekness. It was to cast his investment of himself into the poor and the rejected and the broken and the imprisoned. That was where God's heart was at. So when he came, they didn't even know who he was. You know, and in our own lives, in our own, like, you know, we're climbing a mountain and we're like, eventually we're going to get there. And we don't realize the Lord's like, I'm behind you. You know, we're walking down a path and we're like, where are you? And Jesus is like, I'm under your feet. I'm down here. You know, he came to serve us. He's all around us. It's in him that we move and have our being. Jesus is going to sustain us for all eternity. I know when physicists can't figure out why electrons hold orbits and why there's consistency in matter, given, you know, quantum mechanics, I know it's because Jesus, his judgments rule. I know that God brings a consistency and form to our being. His grace does. And so he serves us. And just like he said to Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. We need to acknowledge that with God, that some of the areas where we're really stuck at are really tiny. And just like Steve talks about dignifying the trial, we need to dignify the things God cares about. God will spend 10 years to move us one inch. And if we just had respect towards his care, they could have gotten over a lot quicker. You know, we could have, you know, come to that place. But, you know, when I think about the narrow gate, I think infinitely small, you know, the straight and narrow path, infinitely narrow. I always wonder when I was a kid, why does God have so little variation? Like, you know, he's like just a straight path that seems really boring. But what's the shortest distance between two points? A straight line. See, God has made me with all sorts of weird quirks and made me, you know, who I am. And there's a lot of variation in all of us. But one thing he doesn't want variation is, you know, the core of who we are. That Jesus is faithful. Jesus never fails to love. Jesus has no desire and has no desire to condemn anyone. Jesus is truthful. Everything that has come out of his heart and his mouth is the truth. Those are characteristics that we need to have, because anything else isn't variation, it's just death. And so, yeah, it's just God's provision for us is like huge. And so when you're reading scripture, you know, I had my, you know, barn doors blown off when I was coming to an awareness. I had a bunch of guys who like to hang out with me, and I was trying to share the gospel, but they were really bitter and jaded. And I'm like, I can't find any point. They want to hang out with me. I don't know what I'm, you know, should say or do. And I know they're really hurting. One of them had like five different dads, you know, stepdads, and just totally broken childhood. And the Lord was kind of like, well, you need to introduce them to me. And in order to really introduce someone, you need to know them. You know, and I asked God to introduce himself to me. I had all these assumptions about the Trinity, about the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father. And I could just kind of see them all very, you know, it was very, very vague. You know, and I asked him, like, Father God, will you, you know, deposit knowledge of your Son in my heart? will, you know, Jesus, will you reveal the Father to me? You know, God, will you show me how your Holy Spirit works, how he's holding me right now, how he's pursuing me right now? And God answered that, you know, and it's so amazing. Like when I'm, you know, ministering in prison or whatnot, and I see, and I've had like individuals I'll just see, and I can see like the word, and they're struggling, and they're struggling to come to that, and I see the Holy Spirit like watering and caring for, you know, and God the Father planned that, and God the Father had that in his heart for reconciliation, for healing, and you know, and there's just, yeah, there's perfect oneness in him. And you know, when the scripture talks about the mighty arm of God, I'll read a passage here real quick. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule with him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." And Jesus is the arm and the hand and the way of God. Everything that he's done has been touched by Christ, you know, and you know, it's interesting because in the universe around us there, just like I was talking about mediation, you know, the relationship that God has with himself as one is borne witness to, and even how objects are moved. I mean, objects, every single object that's ever moved in the entire universe has three points of reference. You know, they have the load, the fulcrum, and the lever. And they're applied in different ways, but there's always those three contact points, and they're always one movement. You know, space is three dimensions. It's height, depth, and width, but it's one, inseparable. And time is past, present, future, one, inseparable. And matter, space is all woven together the same way. And so a lot of times we'll struggle to say, well, you know, understand how Father God, how Jesus Christ, how the Holy Spirit are interfacing, interacting with us, but it's all around us. We live in it every single day. And it's just beautiful. There's beautiful fingerprints of God's relationship with us all over. And we can't derive who God is, you know, from it, but we can know that he is. And that he's left, you know, these fingerprints for our encouragement. So, you know, Jesus is the way that God has done, you know, everything. And who is it that we do? Who is it that we can do all things through? Christ. So what did Father God share with us? He shared his own arm with us. He shared the way that he did everything with us. He's brought all things through Christ to us. So the extravagance of the gift that he gave, the gift that, you know, that in Isaiah 53, you know, it goes, he, the root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The one through which the entire universe was created is given to us. And we don't fully know it just because our heart has to be awakened by the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask. And we need to seek. And we need to knock. But God will open up the dry ground to reveal the living water underneath. He will establish the well. But, you know, we need to seek him out. And we need to ask for that. In 1 Corinthians 8:6 it says, "Yet for there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." And so there is more depth to Christ than we know. There is more meaning and kindness and awareness and remembrance than we know. Jesus is, this, you know, he is the expression of all the love of God's heart. God did not give himself to us in part. When we believe in Jesus, we don't have a fragment of God because God's unbroken. All the fullness of God is in Christ. And when we receive him, All the fullness of God lives within us. You know, to really ask the Lord to open our eyes, open our ears, to behold the one that he sent to us, the one that he loves, to know him, to have the patience to seek him out with the same love, you know, that he had for us. That's when we're singing "Let Heaven Come," that's what we're asking for, because that Jesus is the open door, the open gate of eternity. And we're going through rough stuff in our lives, you know. Back kind of on the same note as the Pharisees, when I looked at the Pharisees and I'm like, you know, what did they have wrong? You know, what was their deal? And then you have the rich man, right? And it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we're all rich in pride. We're all rich in self-delusion, you know? And humility, the things that God takes us through, he shrinks us down and he passes us through that narrow gate. You know, and that humility is part of being formed into the image of Christ. The hardship is part of God literally forming us into the image of his son. And, you know, all that other stuff, all the other, you know, things that we feel like we need to have, or the losses and everything, they just, they pale in comparison to the eternal hope that God has in store for us. And so, So I'll go ahead and just say a prayer here. And anyone that, you know, really wants to really take hold of returning to their first love, of really not passing over the area, you know, and treating just because they haven't found, you know, or fully taken hold of the pearl of greatest price, or just because the treasure seems really dull or they can't remember, to really ask the Lord to invigorate and to, you know, draw us into wanting to know him more than anything we want in this life. So, Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love, God. And I just ask that you would inspire us to seek out your son. Lord, that we wouldn't just receive him and then put him, you know, as a placeholder, or not interact with him fully, God, that we would, Lord, that your word would be magnified in our hearts. God, that you would just start to reveal to each and every one here how you have made provision for them, how you look after them, how your heart and your mind is on all of their ways, Lord, that you direct our paths. So God, yeah, I just ask, Lord, that you would just pour out a love for your son, Lord, and renew our love for your son, that our awe and wonder of who you are and how you love would just be restored and deepened. And I just ask that you bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.